Hey yo, happy Friday. It's Friday. Well, technically it's Thursday, but you know, this will be out on Friday. It's been a week. It's been a day. My first week as a 33-year-old girly, and I gotta say it was a good one for many reasons. Obviously, happy to be back in LA. Happy to have my monkeypox first dose of the vaccine, which is just dandy. And then I had a great dinner last night. I went to this place in West Hollywood called Sushi Fumi. It's on La Cienega. If you know, you know. If you don't, it's a very busy street in LA, by the Beverly Center. And I'd never been before. And it's a restaurant that you would miss it if you drove by it, but it was very good. Some of the best fish I've had in quite some time. Thoroughly impressed. Delicious meal. Amazing company. The person I went with, I just really, really, really like, and they have a very advanced palate, and they're just someone that I really, really love spending time with. So it was a great dinner. Highly recommend it if you are in LA. And yeah, it was good. Then I went home and, you know, had a good night. What else is new? I had a few things I wanted to talk to you about before I get into our four stories of the day. It was Sushi Fumi. The weekend, 33. Oh, yeah. So I've just been, like, I rewatched Bridgerton season 2 very, very recently just because I'm obsessed with Simone and, you know, Jonathan. The chemistry is just, I can't even handle it. But I've been seeing a lot of, you know, Instagram somehow just knows what's going on my phone and targeted, you know, posts and whatnot. So I've been getting all this BTS footage of, like, Simone and Jonathan rehearsing the scenes as the Viscount and K-Charma, and the dancing scenes and the chemistry, and it's just like, you know, they make me believe in love, and they make me want it, and watching them be in love, and it's just so good. And I just love season 2 so much, and I loved the actress who played Kate's sister. What was her character's name? The Sharma girls. Kate and Edwina. Oh, so good. And that scene with the king, Queen Charlotte, when the king comes into the wedding and, you know, Edwina diffuses the whole situation. I'm obsessed with it. And I just can't get enough of it. I can't wait for season 3. And they've obviously started filming it. And I've seen tons of paparazzi photos. It's just great. So that's, you know, sort of what's been going on. Let me think. Yeah, monkeypox vaccine, good dinner, Bridgerton. I feel like I had more, but I never write down what I want to say because I'm just not that type of... I'm just like, no. If it comes to me, though, I'll divert and I'll, you know, I'll get into it. So, yeah, but I hope everybody had a good week. And I hope you all, if you're enjoying your Thursday night, if you're going out, be safe. And if you're not, then, well, good for you, girl. It's going to be a really hot weekend here in LA. Weather-wise, because it's like the thick of the summer, basically. The days are starting to get shorter, though, which is really interesting. It is like, I'm now recording at 6:14 p.m., and I see the sun setting. By the way, if you hear a little rumbling in the background, my AC's on, because it's too damn hot. Okay, four stories for you guys today. Actually, really good ones to close out the week. And that's that with me, girly. Okay, the first story is from E! News. Literally, a whole family of people, and I think the world has now really become invested in this narrative and drama. And that is the Beckhams and the Peltzes. So Nicola Peltz breaks silence on alleged, emphasis on alleged, feud with the mother-in-law, Victoria Beckham. Okay, I'm such a Victoria Beckham fan. Obviously, I went to the Spice Girls tour when they did that, like, re-tour back in 2008. I'm going to say 2007, 2008. I went with a bunch of friends my senior year. We went in Boston. It was so fun. And I'm also obsessed with Victoria because she was on in an episode of Ugly Betty when Wilhelmina gets married and she's supposed to be a bridesmaid, and then obviously she's stealing all the attention. So Victoria and Vanessa Williams are just iconic together, and it's such a good episode. And like when Victoria and David announced they're moving back to America, the world just went, it was basically, in the words of Sarah Sanderson from Hocus Pocus, amok, amok, amok. It was wild. It was crazy. Even I was affected as like a, how old was that, my senior year of high school, 17, 18 year old girly. I was like freaking out. I was like, wow, what, how does this affect me? I wasn't even living in LA yet. But anyways, as we all know, fast forward many, many years, Brooklyn married, eldest son of the David and Victoria empire, married Nicola Peltz, who's just like the most beautiful woman alive. And there's just been this ongoing narrative about the drama. So this is what E! Is saying. Stop right now. Nicola Peltz is finally addressing the rumors about her relationship with Victoria Beckham. Following the Transformers Age of Extinction Stars April Wedding to Brooklyn Beckham, reports began to emerge about the alleged tension between Nicola and her famous mother-in-law. While the Palace Beckham family initially kept quiet about the speculation, Nicola is now speaking out about the rumors, telling Variety, which, by the way, is a very reliable source, because Variety is like a deadline, you know, entertainment, you know, trades, basically. Telling Variety, she thinks they stemmed from her not wearing a Victoria Beckham design during her and Brooklyn's nuptials. Quote, I was going to, and I really wanted to, and then a few months down the line, she realized that her altar couldn't do it. So then I had to pick another dress. Nicola, who ended up wearing Valentino Couture for the festivities, told the outlet in a feature on Brooklyn for its 2022 Power of Young Hollywood issue, continuing, quote, she didn't say you can't wear it. I didn't say I didn't want to wear it. That's where it started, and they ran with that. That's basically everything getting, quote unquote, lost in translation, you know? It's so silly. So silly of me, but it sounded, if you know what that is from, you are my people. If you don't, then I highly suggest you watch Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And I'm not going to tell you which part or what character says it, but it's iconic. Brooklyn also shut down any lingering suspicion of a family feud. Quote, I've learned they're always going to try and write stuff like that. He said of the reports, they're always going to try and put people down, but everyone gets along, which is good. Side eyes, raising my eyebrow. As for Brooklyn 23 and Nicola 27, their relationship, quote, couldn't be stronger, as Nicola told Variety, quote, the thing that's great about us is that we don't need anything from each other. We're just so in love. There's nothing I need from him or he needs from me. Obviously alluding to the fact that she comes from a very well-off family, as does he, but okay, so she comes from a very wealthy family. I think her dad's a billionaire, and he comes from a very famous family. She's famous too, but he's really famous and she's very wealthy. So like, when you say you don't need something from your partner, I don't necessarily believe that, because it's like you're syncing your two like strengths together. So you're both famous and you're both super well off, even though he's very well off. I mean, David and Victoria are, you know, cash cows, honey. So I just don't believe that, but that's okay. You know, sometimes you have to put up a front, a facade, if you will. By the way, E then posted this gorgeous photo of them at the Met Gala. I can't even, she is like, this woman is, it's so crazy how beautiful she is. And it's just like, I can't even, I need to first of all meet her and be like, I love you. And I'm going to be like, give me all your secrets, girl. Okay, while their marriage is solid, that doesn't mean that Nicola doesn't have difficult days. In fact, she recently shared a deeply personal message with her Instagram followers about people who, quote, hurt my heart. Quote, sometimes I find it hard to show the sad bits of me, she wrote on August 5th, my birthday. Growing up with 7 siblings and 2 very strong parents made me really tough. They hammered into me not to let people bring me down or hurt my heart. It made me put such a wall up to protect myself, especially in this industry. We all have days where people make you feel bad, and that's okay to be hurt by it, she continued. I just thought I would write something because I never show this side of me. I wanted to show this side of me. I love you all so much. I really appreciate all your support. It means so much when you guys are kind of my page. I want you to know I see you, I hear you, and it means a lot to me. Oh, I love you, Nicola. I just can't even handle as anyone the thought of somebody making you feel bad is just not okay. But I will say this, I really do relate to her saying she put up walls. I'm sure many other people are like this too. I have real, real steel walls up around me. It's very hard for me to let people in. And not because I've been hurt. I just don't want to let people in unless people, like, I see it as, which is why I'm very selective about, like, friends and, you know, whatnot. The less people you have in your life, like, the less, you know, room for disappointment and whatnot. And then if you do get disappointed by someone, you or someone does something, you can like really quickly point out who it is or where it came from, blah blah blah. And that's, you know, how I operate. But it's also, there's something to be said about being very open and people, you know, just embracing lots of people. It's interesting though, but I really like, I'm glad that you spoke about this. I'm very interested in this. I've been very interested in this whole narrative, and I'm, you know, obsessed with her in Brooklyn. I think they're just an iconic, like, chef's kiss, creme de la creme of a couple. Not the new David and Victoria, because I think that level of fame and just, like, love for the two of them is, it will be unmatched, obviously, because of her Spice Girl and Fashion Days, and David, you know, and his football, i.e. soccer, you know, stardom. But love it, love it, love it, love it, and I wish them a very happy and successful marriage, because they're iconic. Okay, second story of the day. Speaking of another really, really passionate and iconic, very public and famous couple, Paychex is writing, Ben Affleck is upset over pops on his Paris honeymoon with Jennifer Lopez. I'm very shocked to hear this, because literally these guys are paparazzi every single day. And during the pandemic, when he was with Ana de Armas, they were always paparazzi. And they were, like, interacting with the paparazzi. So, this is just a little... Okay, what? Ben Affleck, who battled the glare paparazzi during his first relationship with Jennifer Lopez, struggled with a number of snappers trailing them on their honeymoon, sources tell Page Six. Quote, Ben was a little freaked out in Paris, says the source. Excuse me, this is a whole new level, adding an almost Princess Diana level. Okay, now I have several seats. Back in 2002, the photogenic couple faced unprecedented media attention. They even had to postpone their first planned wedding in 2003 after they were forced to go as far as to consider having, quote, decoy brides on their doomed big day. That's very shady, Page Six, but, you know, you gotta be shady sometimes to get clicks. And here I am clicking. In a statement released the day before the original nuptials, I said, quote, due to the excessive media attention surrounding our wedding, we have decided to postpone the date. And of course, they never rescheduled that particular wedding. Quote, Ben is used to the flashing lights, says the source, but he felt that the honeymoon was a tsunami. Jen's made out of steel and knows it comes with the territory, but he still gets pissed off. While Lopez 53 looks picture perfect in every frame shot, Affleck always seems to be made for memes. There was a famous shot of him looking glum while looking out to sea, another well-worn image of him smoking a cigarette with his eyes closed in apparent despair, and Page Six declared one picture in which he struggles to balance iced coffees with a bunch of munchkins and his mail, the perfect metaphor for the overwhelming events of 2020, i.e. Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, I have many thoughts about this. First and foremost, if he gets annoyed about paparazzi, that's completely fine. That's normal human response. Jen, I remember, I think this is from Kim Kardashian's book, Kardashian Confidential, which literally I have. You know I ordered that book, as well as Paris Hilton's autobiography, Confessions of an Heiress. Two of my favorite pieces of literature ever. I'm surprised they were not, like, in, like, the Smithsonian or something, but maybe they will be. I digress. She said something about how Jennifer Lopez, she was always so influenced by Jennifer Lopez, and, you know, that's because Kim, you know, obviously is very public and followed arguably just as much, if not more, than J-Lo and Ben. But she's like, you know, it just comes with the territory, and some people can handle it, some people can. I think Jen can handle it. I think Kim is made for it. I think a lot of people are made for it, but there's also people who are not made for it, and if Ben isn't, that's fine. He's a movie star. And just because he's a movie star doesn't mean he wants to be photographed everywhere he goes. When I see these photos of him and Jennifer Garner, though, he looks very calm, he looks very at peace, and she never acknowledges it, and that's, like, totally cool. But I'm sure she has two very different lives, like, her public life, and then when she's in private, like, she's probably not followed because she's not thirsty. Not saying that Ben is, but Jen is very famous, and even if Jen's people aren't calling the paparazzi on them, you know, they're going to be there because they're so famous. But I hope that, you know, he learns how to cope with it because they ain't going anywhere unless the marriage ends. I mean, I would never want that to happen. But if the marriage did end, it would make you even more famous. Like, remember when Kim ended things with Chris Humphries? It catapulted her into, like, superstardom. Speaking of marriages that are, you know, dicey. E! News is now reporting Real Housewives of New Jersey's Melissa and Joe Gorga finally break their silence on skipping Teresa Giudice's wedding. Obviously, Teresa got married to Louis. Fabulous. Loved it. The iconic hair. The big hair. The glamorous hair. But obviously, notably, or famously absent, were Teresa's brother, Joe Gorga, and his wife, Melissa Gorga. Blood isn't always thicker than water. We just asked Teresa Giudice. The Real Housewives of New Jersey star's brother, Joe Gorga, and sister-in-law Melissa Gorga skipped out on her and Louis' August 6th wedding, and now they're offering up an explanation. Addressing what Melissa called, quote, the huge elephant in the room during the August 11th episode of her On Display podcast, the reality TV star said she and Joe, quote, had a laundry list of reasons not to attend, one of which was an argument that broke out while the cast was filming Real Housewives of New Jersey's upcoming 13th season. Quote, there was something that went down at the finale of filming, Melissa said. Those exact details I obviously can't say today. Anything that we have filmed is something that I am not able to talk about. Obviously, NDAs and something that happened. She could, however, clarify that nobody knows, quote, the full entire story behind the group's most recent fallout. There are drips and drabs of it, Melissa continued. And that's because the stories that are out there are obviously not coming from my camp. So pay attention. Staying vague, Melissa added that it simply would have been, quote, very strange for her and Joe to, quote, be sitting in the pews and wishing them well on their wedding day after the fight they had. So there have been whisperings, from what I understand, other, like, blogs and stuff that I listen to, other podcasts, that Teresa and Louis allegedly or might have, or somebody in that, you know, on Teresa's side or whatever, released information about a alleged possible extramarital affair pertaining to the couple, but obviously it's all alleged, so we don't know. Obviously they can't talk about it because of the show, and we the audience won't find out until whenever the next season of Housewives airs. Oh well, and the camera people know and all the people who attended, so we won't know. But it clearly was something serious enough for Joe, and I mean, New Jersey, the thing I love about the New Jersey franchise is that they're staunch, like, supporters of family and, you know, always being family. Even if you're in a fight, family's there for family. Joe not going to Teresa's wedding, it sends a message. So it's got to have been something that was so bad and basically unforgivable that he didn't go to his own sister's wedding. I don't know. I'm going to be very interested in this. I love Teresa. And I mean, my favorite Teresa moment of all time, aside from the prostitution horror flipping table scene, is when her and Danielle were, like, that whole country club scene where she's chasing Danielle out. It's iconic. When she's like, why are you talking all ghetto? Why? It's so good. I mean, that is, like, that is delicious TV. Those are the days. OG Nene days, OG Lisa Vanderpump, Kyle Richards days, like the Dinner from Hell with Alison Dubois from Beverly Hills, The Medium. So good. You know, I don't buy a lot of stuff on iTunes because everything is everywhere and I can just watch the show on Hulu. I own that episode of The Dinner from Hell because it is so good. And sometimes I'm like, when I'm showering or something, I always watch something or I always play something in the background. Mostly it's just Gossip Girl or a podcast, but sometimes I play that episode and I'm howling, cackling. My neighbors must be like, what the hell is going on? Because my walls are very thin. What was I going? I don't know where I was going with that. But anyways, yeah, so I'm very much looking forward to finding out the scandal of Jersey and what went down. Okay, for the final story of the day, I'm sure like many of you, it's very sad, this whole Anne Heche accident pertaining to her crashing into a home and being severely burned, now in the hospital and in a coma. But I guess an article came out. She was under the influence of cocaine at the time of the crash. Condition is dire. Anne Heche, this is from TMZ. Anne Heche was not under the influence of alcohol when she crashed her car into a home last Friday, but she was under the influence of cocaine. This according to law enforcement sources and possibly fentanyl as well. LAPD sources tell TMZ the department has tested the blood they drew after Anne was admitted to the hospital, and in addition to cocaine, they also found fentanyl. However, TMZ sources say fentanyl is sometimes used as a pain med in hospitals, so they need to do more testing and investigation to determine if the fentanyl was in her system at the time of the crash, or if it was something the hospital administered. TMZ has also told that Anne's condition is dire. It has not improved since she was admitted to the hospital, as TMZ reported, and has been fighting for her life and is in critical condition. Also, I didn't make this a story, but I guess Daily Mail caught up with Ellen DeGeneres today in Santa Barbara, and they asked her about everything. She said no, she's not been in contact with her, and she obviously wishes for nobody to get hurt. Very politically correct answer. I'm sure her and Portia have conversations behind their very, very fancy house gates about what's going on. But I did see the footage on TMZ of the, like, ring camera of the car speeding and, like, her almost hitting someone. And then you hear the boom where she ran her car crashed into that poor woman's house. Very, very sad. And, you know, I know there are people in this world who struggle with substance abuse, and it's very, very sad. Even if you want to go out, you know, for an evening of cocktails and whatnot, we live in 2022 in the age of Lyft and Uber. Really Lyft. I don't use Uber. I use Lyft. Or cabs. Or ride sharing. Never, ever, ever get behind the wheel if you're... I mean, even one drink is like, come on. But two more and or like any other type of substance is just not okay. And I mean, there's also that other very scary that footage that released of that young woman who... her car goes flying and she killed six people very recently. I guess she was angry at her boyfriend and was just, I don't know the exact details, but it's all very, very sad. And it's bad. So please be safe. And, you know, if not for yourself or those around you, you know, like, girl, we're all just looking both ways. Yeah, so those are our four stories of the day. I just got a coffee, so I'm getting like a second one, which I'm really happy about because I was tired. But yeah. All right, everybody, that is our week. So thank you so much as always for tuning in. I appreciate it. I'm Andrew DeVitri, and this is my podcast, and this is Pop Culture. I really appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with you guys next week, and we'll chit and chat about everything that goes on over the weekend. All right, bye.